Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When Paul and Barnabas preached to the Gentiles, those ordained by God for eternal life had faith and were saved. By God's sovereign will, these Gentile believers, chosen by God before the foundation of the world, decided to receive God's gracious gift. The mechanics of this is mysterious, but if you repent and believe the gospel, you can also make your calling and election sure. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 13 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his message on verses 43 through 52. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. When John wrote his gospel, in chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, the Jews. His own received him not, except for a small portion of people. But as many as received him, notice, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to believe on him. To believe on him is to receive him. You know, it's interesting. The Gospel of John doesn't use the word repentance once, but it insists to believe, because when you believe with your heart, you are receiving, you are repenting. To repent is to believe, and it's to receive Christ. If you will receive him this morning, if you've never done that before, you can have your sins forgiven and assurance of eternal life. You can know it today. Pastor Chuck Smith says, what are you going to do with Jesus who is called Christ? You must judge yourself what you are going to do with him. But in reality, in judging him, you are judging yourself. Who you say he is will determine your eternal destiny. And Paul says we've been called by God, commanded by God to preach this. And in verse 47, he says, for the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto Gentiles, that you should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, interestingly enough, that is taken from Psalm 49, verse 6, where it is referring to Jesus, where it says, It is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Who? Jesus should be my salvation. Remember when Jesus was dedicated by Mary and Joseph. In Luke chapter 2, there's a man by the name of Simeon. And in Luke 2:28, we read, then took he him up in his arms, that is Jesus, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according unto thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And here's Simeon holding the baby Jesus, and he says, Lord, mine eyes have seen your salvation. Who is he holding in his arms? Buddha? Who was he holding in his arms? A pope? A pastor? Who was he holding in his arms? Yeshua. Mine eyes have seen your salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Well, the apostles saw God's command to Christ is applying secondarily to them, because we read in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, Paul writing, whom we preach, the apostles, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. What drove Paul? He said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. He says, we preach, we warn, we teach every man that we may present every man how perfect in Christ. He says, we labor to do this. You know, the message of the gospel is not for any one ethnic group exclusively. It's for the world. And Jesus commands you and I as his disciples, we are called to be his witnesses. We are commanded to preach the gospel wherever we go, whenever God opens up that opportunity to go. That is the Great Commission. Whether it's across the ocean, whether it's across the world, whether it's across the nation, whether it's across the street, whether it's across the state. We are to go and preach. Every one of us is meant to be sowers of the seeds of the gospel wherever we go. You see, Jesus in the Beatitudes says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and so on and so forth. And then he says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. You and I are called to be reflective lights. We are not the light. Never point people to yourself. That'll really discourage them. He says, you are the light of the world. We are a reflective light. The only time that our light is not shining is when the world gets between us and Jesus, just like when the moon gets between the sun during an eclipse. That's why we need to be crucified to this fallen world system, that we can shine brightly for Jesus Christ. Now, notice, when the Gentile heard this, what? The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel that you are not saved by your own works. You're not saved by legalism or ritualism or mysticism. Or there's all kinds of trips that people try to get you on, to get you saved. You know that, right? Things you must do to get saved. Christ did it all. When he said, it is finished, well, he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I hope it's over. He said, it is finished. When they heard the gospel of the grace of God, when they heard this message that they can have forgiveness of sins that will deal with the guilt that they carry, the condemnation that they carry, and we all do. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, the enemy brings up that past, those things that really happened to you, that you and I really, really did, and he can get us condemned. That's why I said, continue in the grace of God. Don't wink at what you did, but look at that central cross and realize that's where God settled the score for your sin. It's over. It's done. The price is paid. That's good news. Real good news. As the book of Acts continues, the apostles begin to say how God has opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. It's faith. By faith, we enter in. And who is the door of faith? It's Jesus. It's all Jesus. In the volume of the book, Jesus said, it's written to me. He is the door of faith. He's everything. He's the door. He's the key of David. He's everything. You get the whole package when you get Christ. You get saved, sanctified, justified, cleansed, redeemed, forgiven. Amen? You can get a little, not because of me, you can get a little excited, you know, when you hear this, you know. I've been with some of you people watching a sporting event. I've been to a baseball game with some of you. And a guy has a 400-foot home run, and you go bonkers. And I'm talking about your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're forgiven for everything. That's great. Wake up, whoever we are. This is good news. This is great news. But notice, as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. You mean this happened? God ordained them? Yeah. God saved them? Yeah. God gave them a new heart? Yeah. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, we read about a woman by the name of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. Every one of us who are born again, we are born again because God, in his sovereignty, has chosen us and given us a new heart. Jesus told the disciples in the upper room, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Do you have a problem with the fact that God chose you? I don't. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You've come to him, he's not going to throw you away. You're not going to come to him and then 5 years later go, really? But I didn't realize I was getting such a mess as you, Viola. When Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, we read in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see in verse 46, people rejecting the gospel and in peril of being lost forever unless some of them repented and believed the gospel. And then we see in verse 48, there are people that are ordained for eternal life. So here is the $64,000 question. How many of you remember that program? $64,000 question. You are old if you remember that question, right? So does God choose us or do we choose God? The answer, yes. Go what? Well, there's a mystery. There's a mystery in the scripture. For example, the Trinity, right? The Trinity, that's a mystery, isn't it? I can point you to scriptures, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Well, but they're three, but they're one. It just goes way, it makes my eyeballs and my ears bleed. But it's the truth. And yet here is what the Bible says. I can point you to a number of scriptures. Human responsibility, God is sovereign. God is sovereign, human responsibility. Which is it? Yes. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Chosen by the Father, saved by the Son, sealed with the Spirit. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. Yikes. Charles Spurgeon said, I'm so glad that God chose me before the foundation of the world because he would never have given me a second thought after I was born. So we are chosen in him. Election, the Bible teaches election. This isn't a word that belongs to the reformers or to Calvinists. It's a biblical word, but take it always in context. The Bible says those that were ordained to preach the gospel live of the gospel. I have many pastoral friends who are bivocational because they're not supported by their congregation. So even though God ordained it, it's not happening. These were ordained because they believed. That's the human part of the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, we read that we are saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit after we hear and believe the gospel. So here is how this works. Today, if you say, well, I don't know if I'm one of the elect. Well, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, what if I don't repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, then you're not one of the elect. You see, atonement accomplished is not atonement applied until you and I, this side of heaven, repent and believe the gospel. A couple more minutes here. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. Notice who we're also in Christ before me. Now, how do you get more in Christ if you're chosen, you are chosen in him before the foundation of the world? But how do you get in before someone else? You repent and believe on planet Earth. And then you find out, hey, I was chosen. Now, you want to magnify the grace of God? If you were God, would you choose you? Uh-uh. No, I would go in the recycling bin. Jesus, before he is handed over to Pilate, before he is handed over to the religious elite of the day, to be brutally beaten to fulfill the prophetic passages of Scripture that pointed to his crucifixion as the Lamb of God. He said in Luke 13, verse 34 and 35, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who killed the prophets and stoned them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen does gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. And maybe you're here today or watching online, and people are preaching the gospel. And you know, it begins like that. But the more that you resist, it gets softer and softer. And as it gets softer, your heart gets hardened. I trust that today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord, that you today would repent and trust him and ask him to be the Lord of your life. You see, atonement accomplished is not applied to anyone until he or she or I repent and believe the gospel. And so now we're going to see this pattern of the Gentiles' reception and the Jews' rejection of the gospel right on through the book of Acts. So in verse 49, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Now, they're not talking about being sent to the printing press. How's it being published? People are talking about it. You tell people about Jesus, don't you? Don't you? In the most casual, practical ways. You go to a restaurant, you start talking about the gospel. I love when I go out with my pastor friends, and here comes that poor waiter or waitress. Hi, can we help you? No, but we can help you. Well, we're pastors. Ooh! They don't say, well, what do you want to drink? Well, you know. And we just have wonderful opportunities to share with them. Wonderful opportunities. This is a very natural way, right? And so the word of God was published throughout the region, but the Jews, the unsaved Jews, stirred up devout and honorable women. If you want to get a crowd of people stirred up, stir up devout and honorable women. That'll really get the fires flaming. And chief men, men who think that they are all there. And they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and kicked them out of their coasts. What message were the apostles spreading in this area? The message of the grace of God. The message that God saves sinners. They were preaching the word of God. And let me tell you, saints, let me tell you, I love you guys, and I'm telling you and watching online, you and I better fasten our spiritual seatbelts, because this woke believism nonsense is coming at us at the speed of internet, and it contradicts and blasphemes and opposes everything that is written in this book. But we must be waxing bold and holding the ground and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what did they do? Verse 51, they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and they came to Iconium. They shook off the dust of their feet, and they came to Iconium. What's this shaking off the dust of the feet? Jesus said in Luke 9:5, and whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. You see, a good Jewish person would not want to carry back to Israel the dust from non-Jewish countries. And to shake off the dust was a gesture of a complete break of fellowship and renunciation of responsibility for the person or community that you had spoken to who had rejected the message. You see, by shaking off the dust of their feet, they in effect were saying to them, and they knew it, you are worse than a non-believer because salvation has been offered to you and you have rejected it. And so, wouldn't you think that after all that was stirred up against them, that they would have been browbeaten, down in the dumps. Look at verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. How do you stop people like this? You don't. You don't, you can't, and you won't. In the Fire Study Bible, there's a note that says, the Spirit's fullness is not merely a one-time initial experience, but rather a life of fresh and renewed fillings that give God's people the ability to accomplish specific tasks, meet specific needs, and continually bring life and refreshment to others. This world needs a lot of watering of living water. And you and I are the springs through which it comes. Notice the joy of the Holy Ghost. Joy is supernatural. It's not happiness that depends upon the chances and changes of life. This is supernatural. And they have joy in the midst of persecution, in the midst of opposition. When Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You got affliction, joy of the Holy Ghost. Those two don't seem to go together. But there was joy. There was joy in the fact, what? In the fact that sinners were being saved and entering into glory, just like we read in Luke chapter 15. The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, when they repented, what? There was joy, joy unspeakable in heaven. And when a person, when a sinner repents, I believe, not just coming into the kingdom of God, was that, Lord, I confess that sin, that horrible thought, that cross word that I was thinking, Lord, forgive me, hallelujah. The angel started singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, yeah, so we ignite worship in heaven. And when a sinner repents, there's great joy. It doesn't matter if they get saved at Koinonia Fellowship, First Bible Baptist Church, Grace Road, Browncroft, where they get saved, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're saved. Joy and affliction. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I never get tired of reading that verse. In whom we have redemption, in whom Raymond Viola has redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How many? All sins, according to the riches of his grace. You can't measure the riches of his grace. Romans 10, how does this happen? But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever, that means you, believes on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy name. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.